Snow outside, scrapers in the back seat, need the heavy jacket? That means it's time for high school hockey.
The Hornets in convincing fashion. Your 2014 State High School Hockey Championships back-to-back.
Now, here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket's Hockey Podcast with Tom Schreier and Danny Ryan, featuring Minnesota high school hockey talk for hardcore hockey fans.
Welcome to 105 The Ticket's High School Hockey Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Tom Schreier. He's Danny Ryan. We've got a great show for you today. In this episode, we look at results from the last week of the regular season and preview the section tournament. Danny, with how much parity there's been in high school hockey, do you anticipate one of the best postseasons in kind of recent memory?
Well, I think one of the more wide-open postseasons in recent memory as far as some sections are concerned, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, so let's start with the week in review first, and then we'll get to go section by section with the postseason. Starting with the week in review, we got Wayzata versus Benilde. Wayzata wins 2-1. Again, these are two kind of weird teams. Wayzata seemed to lose their identity. Benilde, we feel like, is super talented, but isn't kind of coming forth with how much talent they are. They should be a better team. Does this, again, say more about Wayzata or Benilde, this win?
I think if you look at both teams right now, they're both super talented teams, but I think this says more about how Benilde can capitalize on a team that's struggling. And it says a lot about Wayzata. Wayzata should never let 53 shots on net with the style of play that they have, because they play that traps defensive style. And no way should any team have 43 shots on net against them.
Are any of these teams scary kind of come postseason, just given how much talent is on their roster?
Well, if either of these teams wake up and say, oh, wait, it's late February, we can't just walk through the season right now, then yeah, I wouldn't want to play either of these teams.
Moving on to Wednesday, we got Breck, St. Thomas. St. Thomas wins 3-1. This is kind of an interesting one, just given that St. Thomas had lost to Montemita, a Class A team, and Breck was one of the best teams in Class A.
Yeah, I think when I was at this game, St. Thomas did not look the strongest that I've seen them play all season. They kind of sleptwalked through most of the second period. And so I think with St. Thomas right now, you got to be a little bit concerned on what their mental status is going into the section play. Just because normally when they're ending season, St. Thomas is on a hot streak and coming in the section play hot. And but they also have a weaker schedule normally coming down the stretch, playing conference opponents like Richfield, who used to be in their conference.
Yeah, so Breck's goaltender, kind of the highlight of their team, right?
Yep.
Steven Hendrick.
Yep.
Breck also kind of a dangerous team for St. Thomas. Beat them twice last year. It's still a good win, in a vacuum.
Yeah, it's a good win if you're St. Thomas, but the way they played, they didn't want to be there, and it didn't seem like a good win. So I just think with them right now, they need to start waking up and realizing as well that the state tournament's right around the corner.
Moving on to Thursday, Edina beats Minnetonka 3-2. At this point, by the way, you went to this game,
yes,
right? Edina's kind of on a roll. They're just asserting themselves as the best team right there, right?
Edina was, I think the last time I saw them play was against Hill Murray in January. And so it's been a little time since I've seen them play, and this is a much different team. They're much better. And it's funny to say that about a Edina team, but this team is rolling on all cylinders. I think as far as forwards, they have the deepest three lines in the state right now. They can roll three lines pretty consistently again, which if you're playing against them in section time, you got to be nervous, because they don't care who's out there, and they don't mind rolling two lines either in the third period, which they did in this game. So Wade and Malmquist will see a lot of ice time with Mishmash, and Bowlby, Dornbach, and Masterman will also see a lot of ice time come late in the game. So I really hard to think of any team that matches up as well as them on the forward side right now.
Well, and for them to evolve, they started the season as one of the teams to beat, if not the team to beat.
They are the team to beat.
Yeah, and they've evolved over time. I mean, looking back, these two teams tied at the Schwanz Cup. Edina got revenge at Peggle 6-2, but still, I mean, you see kind of, I guess it seems like you saw a big progression throughout the season with this team.
I think in the beginning of the season, I thought Edina's third line was a little bit more average. Now I think they're a little bit more above average, and their first line and second line, and especially their first, is great. I think their first line can match up really well against the Paling line if they play again in the state tournament. So I'm very impressed with how they're looking right now.
Minnetonka, it seems like, kind of carried by their goaltender, right, in their defense?
Yeah, I think carried by their goaltender, Jacob Berger, right now. And I think with them, they need to really get timely goals, lucky goals that bounce into the net for them, because they're not as offensive skilled team as we've seen before with having Max Cota and stuff. I think their offense kind of runs around Gavin Payne and a couple other players.
Moving on to Crete and White Bear Lake. White Bear wins 3-1. Both these teams are kind of tied. Who is going to win the Suburban East? Again, do you take more away from where Creighton's at right now or what White Bear is doing?
I think with White Bear, this is a good win coming in the section time. Gives them a little bit momentum, hopefully for a rematch in the section final game against Hill Murray. And I think Creighton right now is kind of puttering coming in the sections. They also tied Jefferson yesterday, Saturday, 3-3, which Jefferson's not the best of teams right now. It's not a Jefferson 90s team by any stretch. And so I think with Creighton, they really have to step up their game if they want to compete in Section 3.
Yeah, and you just said kind of big rivalry implications. Maybe White Bear's takeaway is that they can maybe go get Hill right now because they're hot.
Yeah, and I think White Bear has had a hot season. Well, let's just put it like that. They've had a season that they've overachieved. I thought they were going to have more of a down year than they losing Jake Wallen, but I think they've kind of overachieved the whole year, and, you know, they might overachieve in the playoffs. Who knows?
Moving on to Saturday, Holy Family beats St. Thomas 3-1. This is kind of what we were talking about with St. Thomas. Usually they finish the season hot. Obviously they've had a couple losses after a really good start. Holy Family, you talked about, though, they're a speedy team like St. Thomas. They're also very kind of top-heavy in the sense that they do have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, I think you look at John Peterson, a kid that probably feels a little bit snubbed from the Mr. Hockey Award, not being one of the finalists, one of the top 10. So I think this is a team that, like you said, is a very top-heavy team. Their top line of Will Guerin and John Peterson is very good. They have a good defenseman in Matt Anderson who's going to Duluth. And so I think with them right now, if they go down early in a game, then it's a different team than if they start off hot. So I wouldn't want to play this team right now coming off of this win. This is probably the biggest win in school history for them, or one of the biggest wins, because they've never beaten St. Thomas Academy before. And so I think being at the Vic, at home ice, this is a good win in front of the home crowd.
Do you see this more as a springboard for for Holy Family, or kind of an anchor for St. Thomas Academy?
Well, that's a good question. I see it maybe as a springboard for Holy Family, because we keep talking about how Section 6 is the most wide open that it's ever been in recent memory. And so this might be the springboard that really propels them to the section final game, because I really don't know how that section is going to turn out. And but on the flip side, if you look at St. Thomas right now, this is not a good way to enter the playoffs.
Hill Murray Moorhead, we were both at that game. I did have to write that down. Occasionally forgotten where I've been. But that was a fun. I mean, I think Will Borgen, the takeaway for me was just how good that player was. He was kind of toying with the lesser players of Hill Murray. But I also noticed how much, you know, talent Hill Murray has. They're really a stacked team, and I think if it comes together, this is a team you don't want to play in the postseason.
Yeah, I think, first off, Will Borgen, I don't think he left the ice. If he did, it was only for like 30 seconds, you know, little snippets. But he was always on the ice, it felt like, and he was very heads up, very good skater, has good vision, very good vision on the point. And there was a couple shots that kind of got through like a seeing eye dog on the goaltender Jake Bagley. So I think with Borgen, he's the anchor on this team. He really leads them, and he's an aggressive player. He's top 10 in penalty minutes in the state. He doesn't mind taking a penalty if he thinks he, you know, can. So
that caught up to him a little bit in this game, though, right? Two bad penalties, Moorhead late in the game.
Yeah, and one of them was Will Borgen in the box, and Hill Murray definitely capitalized on him being off the ice. And so that is one of those things that if you're Moorhead, you got to be a little bit concerned about disciplined-wise if you're going to be going in the box late in the third period.
Yeah, so they have to have a good penalty kill. Jacob Olsen, it seems like on those power plays, was the guy to go to, and it seemed like everything kind of ran through him.
Yeah, I really look at Hill Murray's power play, and it goes through number 18, Jacob Olsen, who's going to Harvard. This kid's 6'3", 6'2", and he's a load. This kid's a big, big
he's
body.
He's a man among boys.
And he's got a good shot from the point. I think if we look at Hill Murray this year, one of their weaknesses might be in their net. Their goaltending hasn't been the Hill level of goaltending that they've, you know, gotten consistently through the last couple of years. So I think with them, if you're going to be a little bit worried about something, it would be coming down the stretch, goaltending, and possibly scoring those big goals when they needed to. I look at them, they should not be beating Moorhead only 2-1 in overtime. Hill Murray should be beating Moorhead 4-1, 5-2.
Any final observations from that game?
I think really this game was crowded with scouts. Some of the best drafted players this year and defensemen in Will Borgen and Jacob Olsen. So if both of those players make it to the state, this is going to be fun to watch too on that level.
Two ties to talk about. Wayzata 3, Hopkins 3. Let's start with them. We know we talked a ton about Wayzata kind of struggling to find their identity. They finished a 500 team, had beaten Edina and Hermantown. With Hopkins, this is a team that maybe can kind of lay in the weeds a little bit, maybe ambush you a little bit.
Yeah, I think Hopkins might be a team that, you know, you don't want to draw first round when sections come out right now, and they're coming out today. So
yeah,
whoever draws,
you're monitoring right now.
Yeah, I got it up right now. So whoever draws the short straw with Section 6 AA and – oh, wait, they just came out, actually.
Let's get breaking news for anyone listening not live, which is nobody, but go ahead.
Okay, so it looks like this is a rematch now on the 19th. This will be a rematch game where Wayzata will play Hopkins.
Ooh.
And this game will not be decided in a tie. And so I think that will be an exciting game coming up on Thursday and seeing what happens between these two teams then.
Yeah, so we'll talk about sections real quick, but I did want to talk about Minnetonka 4, Duluth East 4. Just having seen, I saw Duluth East against Blaine. I think you've seen him a couple times. This is a team that did not, they had a really rough patch, but they've hung on and they kind of hang with everybody, right?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Duluth East right now, they're in the spot they want to be in. They're in a sneaky spot. They're not the number one seed. They're laying the weeds a little bit. And the style of play that they're doing right now, they can really get under some team skin. I think the way I was kind of defining them when we were prepping this is they're kind of like playing the triple option in football. You know,
the coach really throws them off. I mean, the coaching staff just new formation and really kind of implemented on the fly, right?
Yeah, you're not going to see a 2-3 in the offensive zone from any other team in the state, and so it's kind of hard to game plan against a team like that. And so I think if you're Grand Rapids, you're going to be nervous because you have a hard time beating Duluth East. And if you're Elk River, you're not looking forward to possibly playing them in the section final game.
All right, let's move on to section playoffs. Obviously, for you, this is a very exciting year or time of year. I enjoy it as well. It's around the state of hockey. I mean, it's definitely some of the best postseason hockey you're going to see, even with the college and NHL level. Starting out with section one, this is kind of all about upsetting Lakeville North, right? This is arguably, with Edina, kind of the 1-2 in the state.
Yeah, and Lakeville North is a special team this year. They're doing something very special, doing something that only a handful of teams have ever done before, going undefeated in the regular season. So I think if you're looking, this would be a very, very huge upset if they were able to do this.
If someone were to upset them, it would be Farmington or Lakeville South, right?
I think if you look at the teams in this section right now, it would be either Farmington or Lakeville South that would have a shot at that.
South, Nick Swaney does have some good talent, but you feel like Lakeville North, this would be more kind of them playing down to people, right, rather than firing through.
With how talented Lakeville North is, let's put it this way. Lakeville North at one time can have six players on the ice that have D1 scholarships, including their goaltender. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a very talented team. This is probably one of the best defenses that we'll see in a long time coming up through the high school ranks that are playing together. So I think either Farmington or Lakeville North, whoever plays them coming up, this is going to be very, very tough hill to climb.
Section 2, this is kind of the same deal. We talk about North and Edina being the two teams to beat. Edina, this is theirs to lose, right? Probably likely the number 2 seed, Burnsville and Jefferson, maybe on the outside trying to look for an upset.
Yeah, so it looks like Edina is the number 1 seed. Possible fun matchup to watch again like we saw last year, or maybe it was last year or 2 years ago, but Jefferson will be playing Holy Angels in the first round. And these two schools don't like each other, and this goes back to the Treble Zetterdahlen days. And so that will be a fun matchup at big. But if you look at the teams that might stand in Edina's way, I'll look at Jackishon leading the Burnsville Blaze and the Prior Lake team right now, the Lakers. I think this team, if they play Edina, this could be a fun game. This could be a very aggressive, scrappy game. Prior Lake doesn't mind getting under team skins and getting a little tussles and really chirping them. So that would be a fun game to watch if it was at Mariucci.
Do you expect Edina to win, or do you think there's a chance they get upset in this?
I don't think there's a chance. I'll just be honest, but anything can happen. But Edina is Edina right now, and I think it's going to be – that one would be a huge upset to upset the two-time defending state tournament and
champions.
In section play. That would be big.
Section 3, St. Thomas is to lose. The concern for them, obviously, is that they're not coming in as hot as they usually do.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at St. Thomas, this is definitely the most talented team in Section 3. They come in with two Mr. Hockey finalists, and Peter Tufto and Cristiano Versich. And I think what might be their Achilles heel is maybe a little confidence, too much confidence, and not enough defense coming down the stretch.
You felt like their season looked tougher from the outset, right? And it just seemed like other teams that they were playing really kind of fell off rather than St. Thomas playing through an easy schedule.
Yeah, I think looking at their schedule and to start the season, you definitely looked at teams like Wayzata and Benilde and Holy Family
Creighton to some extent
and Minnetonka and Schwann's Cup Gold Division as well. But all the things kind of fell in their place. Wayzata's not having a great season. They didn't draw Edina in Schwann's Cup. And Benilde's not having the best of the season, and they lose to Benilde. They've lost to Hill. They lost to Matamida and a loss to
Holy Family
to end the season. I just think this team is not the same team that they were when we saw them on paper going into hockey day.
At the same time, Benilde, very talented. Hill Murray, we talked about their talent. Matamida, best of Class A, or one of the best teams in Class A, I should say. And Holy Family, the good talent. It's not as though St. Thomas really has had an atrocious loss this year.
No, I won't say that. Their losses haven't been terrible, but I also think those are all winnable games if you're the Cadets as well.
Do you expect a Creighton St. Thomas final?
I expect it, and I hope it happens. I think with that final, that Aldrich Arena will not Aldrich, Ritter Arena will be just popping, and that will be a lot of fun to watch.
Anyone else could challenge those two, Creighton or St. Thomas, in the section?
I would say Eastview possibly. They do have a D1 defenseman in Keith Muehlbauer going to Maine, but without Zach Driscoll in the pipes, this is not a very deep team. Let's just put it like that.
Section 4, kind of hills to lose, but we know with White Bear and kind of with the momentum they've had, the overachieving they've had, White Bear could kind of upset them in a rivalry game here.
Yeah, it's a rivalry game. If they play each other, they'll probably, in all likelihood, barring any like controversies seeding-wise, that this is going to be the 1 and 2 of this section. And so they're playing in Aldrich Arena, which is Hill's home ice now, and so this is going to be a lot of fun, and there's going to be some bad blood that they have to play in that rink because the fairgrounds aren't available anymore to play. So I think looking at that game from afar, it's going to be a lot of fun to see.
Stillwater, kind of a miracle run last year.
Yes.
It was kind of fun. I remember just talking about it and being part of that. I mean, do you believe that they have a chance, or is this kind of Wiper Hill right now?
Do you believe in miracles? No. I don't
really, to be honest with you.
And this year with Stillwater, it would be a real miracle.
Yeah.
I think last year they did have Mitch Ranke, who's going to Michigan Tech, and they had a little bit of style and pizzazz behind them. This year is a little bit different. I think they're still maybe a year, 2 years away from really contending in this section again. So if they make it to state, that will be a miracle, and we'll need Al Michaels to come on and tell us if we believe them or not.
Section 5, we talked about this, wide open for most of the year. It seemed like Blaine kind of took control, and they're the number one seed right now.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the number one seed looking at this section. If you look, they are the most top-heavy team in this section right now with Tufty, a D1 player going to Duluth. This kid's a real talent. I know everybody's looking at this kid for the next level prospect, being how big he is, over 6'4" at least. And he's just a man child out there, really.
Yeah, we saw him play.
I've seen him play several times, and this kid's just fun to watch. And so I think with them, it's theirs to lose. But I've said that the last two seasons, and what has happened, it's been theirs to lose, and they have lost it. So,
yeah, so
I think that's just something you got to watch out for.
Yeah, three teams that could give them a shot might upset them. Anoka beat Blaine twice. We're kind of considered if that's a playoff team. Maple Grove is kind of underachieved. And Centennial's that dark horse. I mean, made the state the last 2 years. They always seem to kind of have Blaine's number.
Yeah, the Cougars, you don't want to play coming section time if you look at the recent past. I think Maple Grove, this would be if they were able to overachieve right now and really put a session push together, that would make their season, because their season's been kind of a little bit of a disappointing. If you look at the rankings that started the season, they were top 10. It's always funny looking at, you know, preseason stuff after the season's over and seeing which teams didn't really achieve. And I would say that Maple Grove did not live up to expectations this year.
But they have the potential to do that.
They still have the potential. That's the fun thing about high school hockey playoffs.
This is what we were saying. We talk about so many sections that, you know, it seems theirs to lose, theirs to lose. Well, we look at all these teams that are really talented. That's where the kind of the fun comes in.
Yeah, and there's always upsets where the NCAA basketball tournament, only 64 teams get in it. Well, in this playoff system, every team gets a chance to go to state. Every team goes to the playoffs. And so you never know what's going to happen. One team can get just crazy hot, and then, boom, they're in state. And it's happened before. Happened last year with Stillwater. So I think, really, Maple Grove could get to state this year off of just a bad regular season.
Yeah, and Anoka, the question is, do they turn it up in the playoffs, or are they just kind of regular season teams?
I don't think Anoka is the most talented team, but with beating Blaine twice now, I think this is a team that if you're the Bengals, you don't want to play again.
Section 6, I know you're going to kill me. You hate this section. It's wide open. It confuses you. And I think that why we're so concerned about this is usually there's a couple front runners, right?
Yeah, and a couple deep teams, deeper teams at least as far as talent's concerned. And I think this year the talent's there across the board, but it's not at the same level that it has been. So if we take it game by game, Eden Prairie has a bye because for the first game of this playoffs, because there's only 7 teams this year in this section.
Yeah.
But if you look at the 4-5 matchup, this is Holy Family versus Benilde. This is a very, very scary matchup. I think both these teams, top-heavy, speedy, both have a D1 defenseman. I think this game has the potential of being a real barn burner. If you're looking for a game to see on Thursday night, this is the one to go to.
It could open up, you're saying.
It could open up in a hurry. I think if you're Benilde, you do not want to be playing Holy Family right now. And if you're Holy Family, you could not have asked for a better draw, because you have a lot to prove if you can beat them.
Do you believe that Holy Family won that game?
I believe Holy Family has a shot, but I'm going to take Benilde. I think Benilde, at home, they should win this game. And if they don't, this is not a very good season if you're them.
Moving on to the next game, what's the next one to watch here?
Next game is the 3-6 matchup between YZ and Hopkins. We touched on this a little bit earlier. They just tied on Saturday. So there's going to have to be a winner in this one. So I think YZ obviously is the more talented team. But with Hopkins being who they are, with the goaltending in the pipes, I think that they could steal this one. And that's crazy to think that YZ 1 is the 3 seed in this section when in the beginning of the season, they were a top 3 team in the state, okay? And so this is crazy to see how far they've dropped.
Well, YZ started the season well. They have Max Zimmer going to Wisconsin, Mark Sundin going to North Dakota. I mean, just with how much talent they have, do you feel like they can kind of overwhelm or overcome a good goaltender in Hopkins?
Yes, but the way that they're playing right now, no, because I just think They proved that on Saturday, is they can't win the games that they need to win consistently night in, night out, even though they should be winning these games, and I think they will. I just still think this game might be a toss-up.
Moving on here, what's the next one to watch?
Next one to watch is Minnetonka versus Armstrong Cooper. And the crazy thing about this matchup is Minnetonka lost to Armstrong Cooper in the regular season in overtime 3-2.
Could not be a better matchup, right? At least three. I mean, it just seems like these are what people want to see.
Yeah, this is what people want to see. This is really proving time for all of these teams. And just like, this is where, okay, we have to beat these teams. We have to play, you know, these games to get to state. And so this is a big proving game for Minnetonka to show that. A little revenge game. I expect them to come out of this one pretty easily, but granted, they lost to him earlier in the season, and Armstrong Cooper definitely remembers that.
So as much as this section kind of frustrates you, Eden Prairie has that number one seed, so yes, they'll play the best of Benilde St. Margaret's and Holy Family, which again is one of the best matchups. You said must see. Wayzata Hopkins will play the winner of Minnetonka Robbinsdale Armstrong. I mean, there's a lot of kind of upsets that could happen here. The first game is in St. Louis Park, the Benilde one, and then the other two games are at the Plymouth Ice Center. So definitely, it seems like this is kind of the must-see section of the eight and the double A.
Yeah, I definitely the most wide open, I would say, as far as all the sections are concerned right now. From 1-6, I think can come out of this section if something goes right for them.
You want to move on to Section 7?
Yes, as soon as possible.
All right. So St. Francis already beat Cambridge. Yep. They will face Elk River. It seems like Elk River, the number 2 seed Grand Rapids, number 3 seed Duluth East, those are the three teams to watch here.
And I'll just touch quickly, like I said before, I think Duluth East is not a team that you want to play right now, especially if you're Grand Rapids. Rapids, I think, is a year away from really competing in this section. They have the top level talent in Mitch Mattson right now and Bischoff and Adams, but I just think that with their goaltending kind of being still up in the air and their penalty kill being one of the worst in the state, this is not a team that's really state ready. And Elk River, I think if they are the most, they have the most firepower and punch led by Mr. Hockey candidate Jake Jaremko, and then Reggie Lutz as well. They have the most punch as far as any team in this section, but you always have to watch out for the Hounds.
Well, and you kind of said this earlier, Elk River has that firepower. They also leak goals. And it seems like the way you're talking about this, Duluth East and Elk River will probably meet in the finals here, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I just for Grand Rapids to beat Duluth East twice in a season when they haven't beat them before this season since 2007 – I think that's a very tough order for them to do. And I think they have some good players. I just don't think it's all there this year, which hurts because I'm a Rapids fan.
And speaking of kind of fans, there is always kind of that people claim bias here, right? The last three games played at Amsoil Arena. I mean, it just seems like Elk River might be set up kind of for a tough matchup here against Duluth East, just given that Duluth East seems to hang in every game, and Elk River is kind of leaking goals, and then they have to play that game in Amsoil.
Yeah, and so, yeah, how could you ask for a worse matchup, you know, if you're in Section 7, that you have to play in Duluth East, hometown fans there, and that's a big advantage if you're Duluth East. Don't listen to anybody who says otherwise. They know where they're playing. Other teams have to travel on like a bus for a couple hours just to get there, where you're going down the street.
Sweet place to play, probably not where you want to play Duluth East, right?
no, exactly. And so I think I can't root against the Hounds that much because of Mike Randolph being behind the bench, and they've made it to state the last couple of years in a row.
All right, moving on to Section 8. Kind of an interesting one. Bemidji, number one seed. If they win, that's the first time since 1997 that Moorhead or Roseau doesn't come out. Moorhead, we just saw, they look like a good team. And Roseau's kind of having a down year. What do you make of Section 8 here?
Section 8 this year, I really think this is a weird year because Bemidji overachieved. Roseau's having a down year of sorts. They're the number 3 seed, but they're only one game over 500. They're missing really that top end talent that they've had in recent years. And so I think when you're looking at this section right now, I'm looking forward to Morehead versus Bemidji in the section final game.
Do you think, just looking at their records and kind of the track record that they have, it seems like Morehead is more tested, has a better resume, has done more traveling. Bemidji, let's hats off to them. We talked about this.
Yes.
Maybe we didn't talk about them as much as we needed to in the podcast, but it's because they're not, you know, traveling around. They don't have kind of that resume, that track record that Morehead does.
No, and I think if you're looking at a team, you want to root, you know, you want your team to be tested, battle tested. Play the good teams under pressure in good tournament style like they did in the St. Louis Park tournament if you're Morehead. And Bemidji's not one of those teams this year, and so it's hard to bet on a team that doesn't play competitive schedule night in and night out. I mean, we just saw Morehead come down to the Metro and play Hill Murray on Saturday.
Who has all those D1 prospects,
yes.
Tough arena to play in, all that stuff.
All that stuff. And so I think if you're Morehead, you've got to be licking your – you know, lips, just waiting for Bemidji and another crack at them. You're a little bit upset that you've lost to them two times now, and you know it doesn't matter until the section time.
You're pretty confident Morehead will come out of that section?
I would say I'm 75-25 that they'll come out.
And you think we could see something historical here with the with Bemidji? I mean, at 25%, but...
Yeah, I think if Bemidji comes out, that would be really exciting. I think Bemidji's a good hockey town. Being the state before and having a lot of talent through their history with having like players like George Palala come out of there. So I really think that it would be fun to have Bemidji in state, but we know the Spuds and we know who they are. They have very good back-end talent on their defense and led by Will Borgen, and their goaltender is good as well. I just think that they're more experienced coming down the stretch.
With Class A, it seems like Section 1, which their bracket's not out yet, New Prague, kind of the team to beat in Section 1.
Yeah, I would say New Prague, the team that is coming, defending this section. I would say anytime that you're defending your section, you're always, you got a bullseye on your back. And so they're probably the team to watch out for right now coming out of Section 1. And I would assume that they would come out of it again, but... Mankato West might have a shot at them as well.
Section 2, Breck, the team to beat, but Delano kind of having a good season, maybe riding a hot streak here.
Delano's having a good season as well, and I think anytime that you're Breck, you definitely don't want to play Delano down the stretch. Possible matchup against Breck would be Kendi or Blake in the second round. And a Blake matchup is always fun to watch because that's one of the best rivalries in the state. Orono is also a team to watch out for in this one. They have a good goaltender in that as well.
Section 3, this is kind of about Luverne, right, even though they lost to New Ulm?
This is about Luverne. I think Luverne, again, is having a very special year led by Jackson Nelson, a freshman phenom that he is. And I think with them making it to state, and if they don't, it's a very it's a bad year because of the way that they've been playing. I mean, we all saw them playing Hockey Day, and they looked very good, but they're not maybe the deepest team in the state right now.
Section 4, we've actually talked quite a bit about Montemita. They test themselves against Class AA. They're one of the best in Class A. And St. Paul Academy just lost their head coach.
Yeah, their head coach, Billy Owens, just resigned. So I think if you're St. Paul Academy, you're without your leader behind the bench, and so that's a big difference with them right now. But Matamidi, led by Jack Becker, who's on the scouting list right now, he's a good player. I think Matamidi comes out of this section now kind of pretty easily.
Section 5, you feel like kind of like in the AA ranks, wide open. Spring Lake Park, Princeton, Chisago could all come out of there.
Yeah, Chisago's the number 2 seed and coming back after a state tournament berth that they had last year. So I think I'm going to go with Chisago on this one, even though their record is not really the most flashy in the whole field. But I think we always talk playoff experience with teams, and playoff experience I think is going to push their way through this one.
Section 6, Alexandria, St. Cloud Apollo, St. Cloud Cathedral, all kind of vying for that section. These are also three teams that are familiar with state.
Yeah, definitely three teams that are familiar with state. Cathedral getting the 2 seed, and it looks like Alex getting the 1, and Fergus Falls getting the 4 seed. I think if we look at a possible matchup between Apollo and Alex, that would be a good matchup to see. as far as the semifinals is concerned, which Alex gets at actually home ice this year. So I expect Alexandria to come out of this section, but there might be some upsets. Little Falls, you know, came out of this one pretty consistently, and then it was Alex, and then it was Apollo, and now with Cathedral in this one. So this one might be a little bit more wide open than it lets on.
Section 7, Hermantown, Duluth, Marshall, Denfield, Hibbing. I mean, you feel like this is – Hermantown's the team to beat, but this is a little more open than people may expect, right?
Yeah, I think this is Hermantown's really state tournament to lose. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
Hermantown has been second place the last 5 years in state.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they have to really want this one badly. So I think if you're Hermantown, you're looking at looking forward to getting back to state, because Coach Bruce Plant always gets you ready to go back to state. But with Duluth Marshall being their last year in Class A, they might make a good push at this one. And a possible really fun matchup to see would be Hermantown versus Hibbing in the semifinal game. This week, Hermantown only beat Hibbing 5-4. So I think with that, looking at that, this might be a fun semifinal game and kind of exciting if you're a Hibbing fan.
Hermantown is very interesting, just given that they're so talented and also have something to prove, right? I mean, this is a team that can really, like, steamroll if they really kind of get angry, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny. They're the number one team in the state, but still have something to prove.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing to say, because they have not won state since 2007. And so they're on the warpath to prove that they can win state without the likes of St. Thomas Academy in there. Class A.
Yeah, Section 8, East Grand Forks is the front runner, but you feel like War Road, Thief River Falls also will challenge them.
Yeah, East Grand Forks is the number one seed. Thief got the number two seed this year. War Road, led by Roth and definitely Jaycox as well, who's one of the best defensemen in the state. So I'm looking forward to possibly seeing that War Road might play East Grand Forks, but Crookston has a very good team this year. And Crookston beat Roseau this past week, and they draw War Road in the first game in this matchup. But East Grand Forks, with the top-end talent that they have, like Dixon Bowen and Tanner Tweedham, I expect them to come back to state and roll. Roll, Green Wave. Roll, Wave.
Roll. Sorry. Any final observations about the postseason?
It's the best time of the year. I'm looking forward to Section Saturday, probably going back and forth between Big and Braemar, and that's always fun.
Yeah, no, it should be a fun time of year. Definitely excited for it. This has been 105 The Tickets High School Hockey Podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks for listening.
This has been Sports Radio 105 The Tickets High School Hockey Podcast with Tom Schreier and Danny Ryan. New shows posted weekly on 105theticket.com.